Good morning, and welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. If you're visiting with us this morning, I want you to consider that you are indeed our honored guest. We are so happy to have you visiting with us this morning. We want you to know that our doors swing on welcome hinges, and anytime that you're visiting, you're in the area, or you're looking for a church home, or you just want to worship our Father in heaven in spirit and truth, we say welcome. And as I've always stated and I will always say is, I love my church. And I hope that you will do something important for me when the service is over, and that's stay around for just a little bit so we can get to know a little bit more about you, and you can get to know a little bit more about us. If you have your Bibles with you or electronic devices, I would like for you to turn to Psalms 119 and verse 11. That's Psalms 119 and verse 11. And as you do that, I want to share something with you. Adam, you remember Adam, right? How Adam was in the garden. And I think Adam was feeling kind of lonely. And looking at him and knowing that he was lonely, God said to him, I'm going to make you a companion. And it's going to be called a woman. And this person will cook for you, clean for you, bear your children. You won't even have to wake up in the middle of the night. She'll fold clothes. As a matter of fact, she won't even argue with you. And if she's wrong, she will even admit that she is wrong. Adam looked at God and says, wow, God, how much is this going to cost me? He said, an arm and a leg. And Adam says, will you settle for a rib? Oh, you guys. Y'all still asleep because that was good. I put that together. It was funny when I did it in the mirror. It really was. It was. I was laughing really hard at my own jokes. All right. Psalms 119 and verse 11. It reads, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, you can notice that I have a handout for you this morning because we will not be using a PowerPoint. But I will, if you raise your hand, if you hadn't had one of these sheets, that handsome gentleman back there that's about 6 foot, a lot of inches, will be happy to give you one of these handouts if you have not had one. So just raise your hand and he'll be more than happy to get that to you. Do you remember the game of hide and seek when you were a kid? It was a fun game. And a lot of us remember that. I remember hiding behind trees and hiding in different places and playing this game. And it was a lot of fun. And I used to love this game because I thought that I was a very great hider. And even though my mom and dad never told me that I was terrible at it, they at least made me feel like I was good at it. And it was fun thinking that I did a great job of hiding myself from them and my friends and my cousins. All the while, hide and seek is a child's game. Many of us as adults have learned to play this game very well. The hidden part, that is. People hide all sorts of things. Things like improper relationships, secret deals, envy, jealousy, insecurities, crimes, lies, truth, unethical work practices, unforgiveness, bitterness, and the list goes on and on. And there are things that we can hide from men, but not so much from our God, who eyes are open to all. Here in Psalms 119, the psalmist writes a powerful chapter regarding the word of God. He begins with a blessing to all of those who will walk in the law. In verse 1, and it quickly turns very personal as he begins to describe the individual's one-on-one relationship with God through their actions. And finally, it ends with the expressions of longing for salvation according to the law, the commandments. The word of God is lifted high in prestige of importance for the child of God. And this is what he's talking about. He's saying that if you have hidden the word of God in your heart, it will behoove you, it will help you not to sin against God. If there's anything that anyone, especially a child of God, will want to hide deeply, it doesn't need to be improper relationships. It doesn't need to be hidden truth. It doesn't mean to be hidden crimes. It doesn't need to be hidden lies or truth. What needs to be hidden is the word of God. Now, the three points this morning that we're going to look at, and the first one is God's word is to be ingrained. God's word is to be ingrained. Now, Psalms 119, it's a very short verse, but it's packed with a lot of power and content. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The text highlights the important word applied to the heart and the power that the heart has to change man. I believe we will be able to see the essentialness of the matters to give God our full attention. So God's word is to be ingrained. Why God's word? You ask yourself, why God's word? Now, there are a lot of words and or people out there with wisdom, with knowledge that can give you instructions to give you little ingredients and little gold nuggets to some degree to make your life a little bit better, followed by the thing that they have prescribed for you to do. We have doctors that write books, nutritionists that write books, psychologists, teachers, self-help gurus. The list is endless. But listen, I have no doubt to some degree that these words of wisdom can be helpful to us. I'm sure that there are some things that a nutrition can tell you that can help you lose weight or to build muscle. I'm sure that there's a self-help guru that can help you in channeling your anger and being serene and rubbing your pressure points so you don't go off on anybody. I'm sure that all those things can be helpful. But they cannot and they will never do for us what the word of God can do for us. Case in point, in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. See, God's word needs to be ingrained because God cannot lie. His word is truth. If you're going to ingrain something from anybody, if you're going to take some advice from anybody, if you're going to say, well, I'm going to hold on tooth and nail to the word that someone is saying, it needs to be the word of God. There is no lie in it. It is nothing but truth. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says that the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates, even dividing the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It goes deep and it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart of man. God's word ought to be ingrained because God's word is like none other. It's effective. It's effective. It's more effective than anything that you can think of. Anything that you want to help you be better. It's effective and it's alive. Then we understand that God's word needs to be ingrained. And why? Because God's word has the power to save man. But man's word does not. It doesn't matter how much powerful you think you are, the president, you could be the richest man in the world, you could have all the toys, all the prestige in the world, but nothing has the power to save like God's word. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the infallible word of God says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time that Dr. Phil had the power to change man? When was the last time Oprah had the power to change man? When was the last time Oprah had the ability to give you the salvation that you needed in order to obtain eternal life? Man does not have that power. God does. And then God's word needs to be ingrained. For the simple fact in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says that all scripture is God-breathed. It comes from his mouth alone, and it is useful for teaching. It is useful for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be truly equipped for every good work. Not a few good things. Not 95% of things. Not 99.9, 100% of it that God can do to equip you for every good work. God's word equips man for everything. Now you tell me what man can do that. Name me one that can equip you for every good work. So what does hide in the mind or the heart, shall I say? What does that mean? What does that mean to hide in my heart? Hebrew scholars and more modern translations tell us that hide means to treasure. If you say that I'm going to hide God's word in my heart, you're saying I'm going to treasure God's word. You know what it means to treasure something, right? You know how we treasure things. You know, you got some of y'all got money buried in the backyard. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. You got your precious jewels in a lock somewhere. You got deeds and money and all types of things in a lock box somewhere because you treasure it. When you hold your little baby, Holly holds her little baby. I don't think that she is flippant with it or just negligent with her child. She holds that precious baby close to her and makes sure that that he's safe and that he's taken care of. When you treasure something, you hold it in your heart. And that involves three parts. That involves value, that involves intent, and it involves steadfastness. See, when you value God's word in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and your election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. So you're telling me, if I make my election sure, right, and I do the things that you're telling me to do according to your will and your word, I will never stumble. Let me tell you something. When something is valued, it means something to you. It really does. When you value your relationship with God, you act differently. Your prayer life is different. When you're in here amongst the saints, your singing is different. When you have an opportunity to serve in God's kingdom, your servitude is different. When you value it, it means something to you. Then when you value it, you got to have some intent. You got to be intentional about it. Yeah, I value God's word, but are you intentional with how you use it? Are you intentional about how you spread it? Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. Says, for Ezra had devoted himself to study and observe the law of the Lord and the teaching of his decrees and laws in Israel. He intentionally opened it up like we should the word of God. When was the last time you intentionally just opened up the word of God without it having to be prompted by Bible class? When's the last time you intentionally opened up the word of God and have to be prompted by we're going to a Bible class on Sunday morning or worship service or evening worship service or a gospel meeting? When did you intentionally open it up? Before, when you got up in the morning, on your break, while you was driving, when you had time? When was the last time you read the Bible to your children? When was the last time you had a Bible study with your kids? Ezra saw fit, and it means you do it on purpose. No one has to prompt you to do it. No one has to make you do it or give you an assignment like a teacher. You say to yourself, it's not by accident. I intentionally pick up the word of God because I value it. It is precious to me, and therefore I want to ingrain it in my heart. One thing my mom always said to me, make the day intentional. Make the day intentional. Can you imagine what the church would be like if we made every day intentional to serve God with our heart, our mind, and our soul? and in doing so, I value it, I'm intentional, and then I begin to say I will be rooted and grounded in it, because now I'll be steadfast in it. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. So once you value it, you have to be intentional about spreading it. You have to be intentional about learning it. You have to be intentional about making sure that you are doing everything that God has told you to do. Now you can't be moved by what anybody else says, because you'll be steadfast in it. Means you're going to keep on doing it. It doesn't matter what the world does. It doesn't matter who changes it. It don't matter what Creflo. It don't matter what Joel. It don't matter what other people say. All that matters is what God has said on the matter. You're reading the Word of God. You're studying the Word of God. You're praying about the Word of God. You're practicing the Word of God. You're sharing the Word of God. That's what it's about. When God's Word is ingrained in you, you will value it. You will have the intentional mindset to get it out, and you'll be steadfast in it all the days of your life. Note, it is all the time. You know, some people say, you mean all the time? Yeah, I mean all the time. Okay, I see. I mean all the time. I don't mean sometime. I don't mean when it's convenient for you because your cable is out or your show didn't come on, so I just decide to use it. Or maybe you don't have a coaster and you don't want to mess up your little table, so you break out the Bible to set something on it. No, I'm talking about you opening it up every day, valuing God's Word, making sure that you're doing what He's saying. You are burying it in your heart. That's the attitude we ought to have when it comes to God's Word. So you ask yourself this question, and if I'm ingraining, what is the heart then? What's the heart part about it? Well, the heart is the spiritual part. The heart is the spiritual part. It's the part of us where our emotions and our desires dwell. It's our core being. It is who we are. It is that which has thoughts. That's our heart. Let me tell you how I know. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. The infallible word of God says, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and they had every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. All the time. You want to know why we're going through what we're going through right now in the world today? You want to know why it doesn't make sense for somebody to harm a baby? Or to kidnap a little child, or sex trafficking young teenagers and young people, because God's word is not ingrained. You want to know why the church is splitting? You want to know why we're having all this divisiveness in the church? Because God's word is not ingrained. We are told that the heart is deceitful above all things. So you gotta have some help. You're going to need some help. That's almost like somebody's telling you that right now you're incapable of walking without these crutches, and yet you continue to walk without them and you fall. The Word of God is our crutch to our hearts to make sure that we don't fall. Jeremiah 17 verse 19 tells us, they said that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? God. God. So why hide God's word in a place that's wicked then? If the heart is deceitful, why hide it in a place? Because it has power. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 again, it says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. That's why God's word needs to be ingrained. That's exactly why. And when we hide God's word in this wicked heart, the word penetrates all of that foolishness and starts putting in righteousness and goodness, drives out all of the wickedness, and it is replaced with the changes of righteousness. And you tell me that reading the Word of God ain't that important to you? Because the name's too big, and somebody begat, and somebody sat and begat that, and thus and this, and that's too much for you. Opposed to the fact that you understand what power that it possesses. How it helps, how it transforms, how it refines, how it renews, how it changes your life. And when it's all said and done, the other thing that we need to do is download. You know, young people, I know y'all are familiar with download. Yeah, I know. You got the games. My son get on my nerves with that download. Can you download this thing? Can we download? No. Download the Word of God. Fortnite? The game? What? Come on, hit me out. Fortnite? That's it. Okay. Legos this and the Jago and Lego and all that. I want you to download. Let's look at a story in the Bible. Because downloading God's word will protect you and shield you from any and all viruses that you can get. All right, come on with me. Come on with me with this joint. Because we are told to hide God's word. Check this out. God told Israel that his commandments were to be on their hearts. This is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." So let me bring it home for you. Let's make some application. Most of us use computers daily, correct? It's almost like we're in an age where you got to use a computer. I didn't even know. I hadn't been to McDonald's so long. I didn't know now that you don't even go to anybody. It's a little screen that you go to now. And you just punch it in and place your order. Right? So computers are used everywhere. We use them all the time. But when using them, we run into those risky viruses every now and then. Nothing gets on my nerves more than those viruses. And then the more you try to get rid of them, the more they come, the more difficult it comes, to the point where you just like, I just got to get a brand new computer. I'm just tired of it all. And then the antivirus protection thing runs out all the time. And they keep popping up talking about it's got to be renewed. You have 27 viruses that are threatening your computer now. And it goes on and on and on. Well, let me tell you something. When you download the word of God in your hearts, it's protected and shielded by the viruses of Satan and this world. You don't ever have to worry about it being debilitating to your computer, which is your heart. You don't ever have to worry about those things coming in and infiltrating it because it is blocked by the word of God. You want to talk about antivirus shield for the heart? It's called God's word. You want to be protected? Get into God's word. You want your life to change? Get into God's word. You want to start reforming and refining and changing and affecting the lives of others around you? Get into God's word. Psalms 37:31 said, "The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide." If that ain't encouraging to you, I don't know what is. He says the law of his God is in his heart. So you mean to tell me if I write the laws that God has put into this book and write it on the tablet of my heart, I shall not slip or slide. I shall not fall. And the answer is yes. I'm going to tell you this, because a lot of times we try to act as if we don't understand and we don't get it. But let me tell you something. The ignorance won't be an excuse. I just didn't know. And I believe it's true that ignorance is bliss, because you can easily say, well, I just didn't know. The reason I know that ignorance is bliss and it does not work and it will not work with God, because it doesn't work here. It doesn't work with man. When's the last time you ran through a red light and police pulled you over and you was like, I didn't even know. I thought the red light was to go and then the green light was to stop. I didn't even know. He's going to say, well, sorry, you're going to know after you have this ticket right here. And you see, so what do you think is going to happen on judgment day? All of you who are saying, Lord, Lord, but the word ain't ingrained. All of you who are saying that, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, I'm a follower of Christ, but the word of God ain't ingrained. You don't value it. It's not intentional. You haven't downloaded. You hadn't done any of these things. What do you think he's going to say? Depart from me, for I never knew you. Have you ever thought about that? Depart from me, I never knew you. If somebody came up to you out of the blue and you never had a conversation with them, never spent time with them, never prayed with them, right? You never been to a game, ball game together, never did anything. And they was like, hey, man. Me and you tight, you my friend, and we cool, right? Don't say, I don't know you. We haven't spent any time together. How you figure me and you have any type of relationship? You don't talk to me on the phone. I don't get no Christmas cards. I don't get no Christmas presents. You ain't been to no family reunions. People have passed. You ain't been to no funerals. Now all of a sudden we friends? Man, I don't know you. If there is no relationship, if there has not been a person who said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to be in Christ, and after that, to ingrain God's word, to value God's word, to intentionally spread God's word, depart from me, I never knew you. As is death caused by ignorance. If we don't hide the word of God in our hearts, we can't say that on the day of judgment. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 and 31, it says, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance. That time is gone. We missed that. That ship has sailed. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent. That means you got to change, turn away from, about face. For he has set a day that when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. Last point. The heart should be rooted in the word. And when the heart is rooted in the word, it causes no offenses. It causes no offenses. It says that in that last part of Psalms 119, that I might not sin against thee. See, sin is a universal problem. We already understand that. The Bible reads in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we all understand that. Nobody, the person that's here that's a Christian now was that same person that wasn't a Christian. Nobody in here is free from that. We all understand that. And that's a problem, though, because when you have sin in your life, it separates us from God. And God turns from us when we're in sin. That's the bottom line. And it's even worse when you ain't in Christ. You don't have a chance. But when you're in Christ, you got to make sure that you're repenting of your sins. You got to make sure that you are rooted in his word. So you cause no offense. In Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, it says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sin have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. It didn't cause an offense with sin. But if you get in the word of God and you're granted, you would know that. You'll know what God hates. You know what God loves. You will know and understand what God expects. You'll know how often you need to worship. You know how often you need to read. You know how often you need to pray. You know how often you need to show love. You will understand and encompasses what a Christ-like man and woman should be when you get in the word of God. You got to understand sin is fatal. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But if you are in the word of God, there will be no offenses because you understand that the wages of sin is death. You understand that being in the world and doing the exact opposite of his will separate you, causing an offense. Sin is fatal. We die a spiritual death, which is the worst kind of death. You want to be afraid of dying? Dying spiritually is the worst kind of death. I want you to be afraid of something. Be afraid of that, being separated from God. So we must get back to him and seek forgiveness for our heart issues. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, it says, repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. I think when it's all said and done, we got to get to a place where we say to ourselves that I no longer want to be separated. I no longer want to play the song, this song and dance with you, Lord. I don't want to continue to be lukewarm. I want to continue to act like I do, and really I don't. It's time out for all the games. It's time out for all of us, the faking and acting as if we truly love the Lord. The proof is in the pudding. Do you value the word? Do you intentionally read it and share it? Is it ingrained? In Romans chapter 16 and verse 17, the heart with the word treasure would obey the gospel. If you treasure the word of God, you obey the gospel. People are like, well, why is it so hard for people to obey the gospel? Because they don't treasure the word of God. Why is it so hard for people to turn away from sin? Because they do not treasure the word of God. Why is there so much bickering and dissension in the church? Because they're not valuing the word of God, and it's not ingrained. Because if you value it, you will do the thing that you know you need to do. If you ain't in Christ, you're not afraid to go down in the watery grave of baptism. And you're not afraid to serve him with every fiber of your being. You're not afraid to be used in his kingdom for the good of his kingdom, for the expansion of his kingdom. Romans 16, verse 17 says, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from the heart the pattern of teaching. That has now claimed your allegiance. Listen, in closing, if we want to stop the offenses of man, but especially to our God that is in heaven, we'll do what the psalmist records. In Psalms 119, verse 11, he says, I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. The word of God is good for us all. If you hadn't figured that out by now, it's kind of like that song. If you don't know by now, you will never, never, never know. Young people, I'm sure, and even some of our older people, you've tried everything. At least you believe you have. You've tried this, you've tried that, you've read this, you've read that, you got counseling on this, you pray, you got with this person, asked this person to pray for you on that. You've tried all these different things, and all I'm saying to you this morning is try God. Try God. You've looked at you've read all the books, all the videos, all the self-help. Try God. Give God a chance. I want you to take this word and I want you to hide it right here in your heart. And I want you to treasure it and I want you to value it. Because when you do that, it'll change your life. As the word permeates, you'll grow. Ask me how I know. Because I was out there. I was a young person that was out there. God's word wasn't valued. It wasn't ingrained. Oh, I knew about it. I heard about it. I grew up in the church, but I didn't treasure it. And you have to get to a place in your life where you say it's time out for playing games with the God who loved me more than I could ever love myself. I owe it to my soul to change. I owe it to my soul to be in Christ, to be baptized. I owe it to ask for that forgiveness, to have a repentant heart. You owe it to your soul. So if you're here this morning and you are a Christian, and you've been struggling in that area or whatever you may have been going through or what you've been dealing with, you may have sinned publicly, whatever that may be, make that known and get it right with God today. And if you're not in Christ, then you're out of Christ. And if your desire is to be baptized today, the water is ready, we are ready, God is ready, he's anticipating, he's wanting you to do what you know you really need to do. And if that is your desire today, to hide God's word in your heart and start living for him for the rest of your days, then come now as together we stand and sing.